Please rise for the reading of the text. Our lesson for this evening is the familiar words of Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith in our crucified and risen Savior through them. Amen. The Mayo healthcare system is considered probably the best healthcare system, not only in the world today, but I would say probably since the fall into sin, the best health care that the world has ever known. People from about 150 countries per year come primarily to Rochester, Minnesota, only 80 miles away or so from us, to seek out the best health care that they can possibly find. Kings and princes come there, and heads of state. The Mayo healthcare system employs over 58,000 people around the United States, some right here in Mankato, 58,000 employees. And if you were to be someone looking at possibly taking a job with the Mayo system, you could go on their website and find them trying to entice you with a package of benefits. And in that package of benefits would be included a very good life insurance policy, which, if you think about it, really should be called death insurance, because that's when it finally pays out. Now, isn't that interesting that even those who work for the best healthcare system in the world, that the world has ever known, and even those who possess the greatest wisdom and have the greatest medicine and technology and advancements around them to deal with the problems of illness and death, even they need to have life insurance policies. Death is no respecter of persons. There's not a single human being today here on this earth who is able to conquer it. Not even our brightest doctors collectively can come up with a way to defeat it. The words of Job remind us of the destructive force and nature of this great enemy of ours known as death, with these very stinging words, "After my skin is destroyed." And those are words that all of us would prefer to just pass over quickly because of how vicious they sound. Years ago, when I was a parish pastor, I frequently had to go into hospitals and into cancer units where there were often children. And I remember in particular the hospital up in Minneapolis and St. Paul, where the wings of those children cancer patients would be, and they'd be playing video games in some of the little playrooms. But here they would be without any hair and sometimes swollen from the medication that they had to take. And how difficult to see these little children who on a daily basis had to deal with the reality of death, imminent death. But they're the ones that really have it right. They're the ones that really get to see this world as it truly is. So often I know for myself, in my middle ages and so on, I think of death is something that's still far away from me, and yet it might not be. Because death doesn't really pay any attention to who we are. It doesn't pay any attention to where we are in life. I've heard of people dying on their wedding night, during vacation, coming home from prom, lying in bed, lying on the couch, watching TV, sitting at work, during a meal, while they're sleeping, even sitting in a church sanctuary. The Book of Common Prayer says it so well and sums it up. In the midst of life, we are in death. And that makes the words of Job ring with even greater certainty and beauty for us tonight. When he says so confidently about Christ, hundreds of years, if not 1,000 or more years ahead of time, I know that my Redeemer lives. The word Redeemer is an interesting word that we maybe don't use too often apart from our spiritual conversations. The word redeemer sometimes comes up, and the idea of redemption sometimes comes up in the context of kidnapping. Phoenix, Arizona, right now, for some reason, is considered the kidnapping capital of the United States. They average more than one kidnapping per year, or per day. One kidnapping per day, 370 last year. And there are some countries in the world where there will be as many as 3,000 or 4,000 kidnappings that take place every year. There's an insurance company named Bellwood Presbury Company that sells ransom insurance. You can actually buy insurance for yourself or an employee that in case you or someone in your family is kidnapped, it will purchase you back to your freedom by providing the amount of ransom that is required. Now that is life insurance. That is a life insurance package to guarantee your life. The money is then taken and placed into some kind of container to be delivered and to be counted. And then finally, hopefully, there will be the release of the kidnapped victim. When it comes to the context of Christ being our Redeemer, Christ has placed himself in the container. He has placed his very life as the Son of God in the open grave and closed himself in. He himself became your ransom. St. Peter says it this way, "You know that you were ransomed, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ." And just like in a kidnapping, when the kidnappers have to take and count that ransom before they release the victim, the same was true for us. Our Lord Jesus went into that grave to be counted on Friday night. And God the Father checked to see, would this payment of our Lord's death be sufficient for us? Friday night, he checked through it. Saturday, and finally Sunday morning came his response. And that is the open grave of our Lord. It is enough. It is sufficient for us to be released from our sins. And so if you're afraid of God because of some particular thing that you've done in your life, or maybe something that you've done so frequently that you're concerned that God's going to hold that against you on Judgment Day, then know this, he is risen. If you are concerned about what's going to happen to you on that final day, when you have to stand before God, and will he let you into heaven or not, then know this, he is risen. The grave is empty, and that empty grave of Christ assures you of three very important things. First of all, he really is the Son of God, and you can put your faith in him. He's not just some quack making crazy claims about himself. He truly is the Son of God. No one else can pull this off. Secondly, that your sins actually are paid for, that the ransom has been accepted. St. Paul says that Christ was raised to life for our justification. That's for you to know and to possess. And finally, his resurrection means that your own body will someday rise from the grave. And that's what gives Job such joy in this text. Imagine what it's going to be like to actually feel and experience life coming back into your body. I was wondering what's going to be the first part of you that tingles with that life, that starts to sense that revivification of your flesh in your grave. And it will be you. It's not going to be some new spirit body or some new theoretical or phantom body. Listen to what Job says. In my flesh, I shall see God with my own eyes. That's amazing. In your flesh, as a believer in Christ, you're going to get to actually see God, and it's going to be the pupils of your eyes that experience that. No wonder Job says, how my heart yearns within me. The Hebrew there literally means, I can hardly contain myself. It's such an exciting thought. In December of 1989, there was a woman in Aurora, Indiana, who loved her Eldorado Cadillac convertible so much. She had had it special ordered with a special interior. She loved it so much that she asked her husband to bury her in it when she died, and so he did. He purchased 14 grave sites in a row and took a crane, put her body in the back of that convertible, and lowered it into the grave. and buried her in her car. If you're going to live for the things of this world, and that's what your life is all about, that's about as good as you're going to get right there, to get buried in your car. Your risen Savior invites you to live for something far greater than that, and that will last forever. He says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Amen.